Well, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
It's delightful to be with you tonight. Even though I got harassed before I got up here. David Watts came up here and sat down beside me. What are y'all laughing about? He came up here tonight and he said, I hear you talking about all this stuff about Kentucky all week. He said, I want to know, what's the capital of Kentucky? Do you say it Louisville or Louisville? And I said, you ain't from Kentucky.
Tell him what you really said.
He was trying to play a trick on me. Frankfort's the capital of Kentucky, folks. He's just a jokester. And then I ask him if he's kin to this guy sitting up here on the second row. He's acting like he can't hear it. I am really glad to be with you all. It's been a blessing to my life, and I appreciate your gratitude for the truth and your interest in hearing it. And by the way, I don't think I have my mic on. Let's see if that's any better. That may work better. But I'm grateful to be with you. Tonight I want to talk with you about something that's as basic as it can be, brethren. And unfortunately, what so many of us overlook, and then we wonder why we're not being successful with people and reaching them with the gospel. I have two purposes in this lesson tonight. One is to talk to those of you who are Christians and talk to you about how do we talk to people, how do we help people really to come to faith. To those of you who tonight are on Facebook Live or on the internet, and those of you in this assembly who may not be Christians, I'm talking to you tonight to try to help you to grasp what Christianity is really all about. And I hope this evening, as we study, that you may have a much deeper insight into Jesus Christ. It may cause you to ask some questions, and if you have questions, listen. When we're finished tonight, you are welcome to come and ask me anything. I'll be delighted to talk to you. Justin will. Any of us will be glad to sit down and talk with you about what we discussed tonight. Now, before I get into the lesson, I have one question for you. And that is, are you an idolater? And probably every one of us in hearing that question would say, what in the world are you talking about? No, I don't have an idol in my life. You know, I don't have some little statue over here I worship. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you this evening that there are so many people in our world who think they understand Christianity, but in reality who are serving an idol in their own mind. You may not grasp right now what I'm saying. Please stay with me. Our lesson this evening is entitled, Focus Upon Who Jesus Christ Really Is. People think that they know who Jesus is, but sadly, there is so much misunderstanding about who Jesus Christ is in our world. Many people worship a Jew that lived some 2,000 years ago on earth, and that's kind of who they see Jesus as. They really have an idol in their mind and don't realize it. It is imperative, brethren, for all of us who are out talking to people about the gospel that we teach people the Jesus of the Bible. But I have a question tonight, and that is, who is Jesus Christ? There are a lot of different answers in our world in 2021. There are people that would say that Jesus Christ is the biggest liar that ever lived. Why, he claimed to be the Son of God. You ever read something like that in the Gospels? He thinks he's divine. There are people that think that Jesus Christ is some kind of a lunatic who's just got some kind of self-delusion, and he's convinced himself in his own mind that he's something he's really not. There are other people that see Jesus Christ as a legend. Oh, he's somebody that was heard about 2,000 years ago, and people have talked about him, and the more they talk about him, the bigger they've made this legend, so much bigger than he really is. And there are other people say that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all mankind. You know what? Those four things are dramatically diverse. They can't all be right. Now, as we go further and talk about who Jesus Christ is, may I just call your attention? I wish I had time tonight to really go into this, but I don't. If you look at the ignorance about Jesus Christ that's always been there and is even rampant tonight, it's so sad. In the first century, Jews said, "Why, that's the son of Joseph. He's the carpenter's son." I have a question for you. Is that true? Was Jesus the carpenter's son? Not the Jesus of the Bible. That's what the Jews said about him. That's what they understood. He wasn't the carpenter's son. There are people that said, here's this guy who's full of himself, and he claims to be from heaven. He's delusional. There are pagans who so misunderstood Jesus. You read Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and Paul talks about that the gospel is to men who think they're intelligent and wise, it's pure foolishness. Understand, please, why he says that. To the mind of a Greek who has all this polytheism in his mind, you come along and tell somebody that a God left heaven and came to this earth, it's absurdity to him. You tell him that somebody who is a God left heaven and came and lived in a fleshly body, ridiculousness to the Greek mind. You tell somebody that a divine being left heaven and came to this earth and lived in a fleshly body and was killed, pure foolishness. To the mind of a Greek, he hears that kind of stuff and says, I don't want anything to do with it. There are 21st century examples, and I wish tonight, again, I had some time to talk to you about some of this in detail. There is a man from where I've lived for the last 34 years in Evansville, Indiana, who's a part of what was called the Jesus Seminar. And these people have come along and said, you know what, we're going to really clarify who the Jesus really is. It's all a legend. This guy, Jesus, really was just a Jewish sage. He was a stand-up comedian in the first century. He was married to Mary Magdalene. Now, I don't remember this exactly. I think they said he was married to Mary Magdalene and he had three children. And I'm like, well, where did you come up with that? I know where you didn't get it. But But ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of questions that come that we can't just ignore. We have to look at these questions and ask, what about them? For example, some of the questions that people will ask is, who was Jesus? Was he God? Divine? Or was he just a man? Did Jesus divest himself of his deity when he came to earth? Was he both divine and human at the same time? I have a question for you. You ever struggled with that? You ever heard some preacher stand in a pulpit and say Jesus was the God-man, and you sit there and scratch your head and say, what in the world does that mean? You ever heard some preacher say Jesus was 100% divine and 100% human, and you say, how can that be? Could a divine being really live in a fleshly body? Now, while you're pondering that, I want to step a little further. I want to give you something to really think about. Brethren, we say that divine beings are omnipresent. They're everywhere. I challenge that statement tonight. But you know what? If the Jesus of the Bible is divine, every one of us know that Jesus always was in locations, always in his existence. We know that. I find it so intriguing that we come to Jesus and say, well, he always resided in locations, and yet we say, but divine beings are everywhere. Well, you can't have it both ways. So what is Jesus? Now, before I go to the next slide, this question for you. Who is Jesus Christ? When I'm doing Bible studies with somebody and I give them this assignment, I want you to imagine that somebody who works with you says, you know what? I'm intrigued. I know you go to worship. I know you're a religious person. I'm not trying to challenge you. I'm not trying to argue with you, but I have a sincere question. Who is Jesus Christ? What are you going to tell them? And so when they come back for the next study and they give me some answers, I want you to imagine what every person I've ever studied with has answered. And here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Every person that I study with will say, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen? You know what? 100% of the people give this answer, and then here we are as members of the body of Christ. Brethren, as soon as somebody says Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you know what we're ready to talk about? We're ready to talk about baptism. My daddy was a farm boy, and he always talked about don't get the cart before the horse. Brethren, we need to slow down and stop getting the cart before the horse and start assuming things and ask some serious questions. So when a person says to me in a Bible study, well, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, my response is this. You know, that's a good answer. But I'd like to follow that up with another question for you. And here's what that question is. Would you tell me, in your understanding, when did Jesus come into existence? Brethren, 75% of the people I teach in the United States. Are you listening? 75% of the people that I teach in the United States say Jesus came into existence either at his conception or his birth. Is that true? Church?
No.
No, it's not true. Now, I want you to think about this. Somebody comes and says, I want to respond to the invitation tonight. And what do we ask them? Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Absolutely. I'll stand up and confess I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Brethren, if that person understands in his mind that Jesus is another Son of God, like Justin Paschal is, question for you, did he just confess Jesus Christ or not? Well, don't all of you answer. I'll ask it again. If a man walks down the aisle understanding that Jesus is just a Son of God like Justin is, and he stands up and says, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, ladies and gentlemen, has that man confessed the Jesus of the Bible? Yes or no? No. Do you understand how serious what I'm putting in front of you tonight is? Brethren, sometimes we've asked ourselves, why is it that people we teach don't stay with it any longer than they do? I'll tell you one reason why there's a lot. But one reason is because we haven't converted people to Christ. We're not even sure what they believe about Jesus. Secondly, you ever had discussions with people where you talk about the Bible and almost immediately there becomes arguments about things like what law are we under? How should we worship? What about baptism? What about music and worship, brethren? Hear me tonight. If you and I teach the real Jesus of the Bible and we really convert people to Jesus, those issues that we know as hot button issues that cause arguments, most of those are going to go right out the door when people know who Jesus Christ really is. Now, I want to tell you this evening how I talk to people about who Jesus is, the first two points of it. Number one, I talk to people about the Jesus of the Bible, that Jesus is a divine being. I want you to open your Bibles with me, as well as hear things I'm going to talk about this evening. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, as you study the Bible, Jesus Christ is one member of the Godhead. There is not in the Bible just one divine being. There are three. One of the verses I show people is Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Did you know that the word God there is not singular, it's plural? Somebody says, well, I thought that was God the Father. Well, let me show you. Go down to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. The word God, this might, I will challenge you to study this, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me. If I remember in the Pentateuch, that's the first five books of the Old Testament, the word God is used something like 1,100 times. Did you know that only about 76 times it's singular? All the rest of them, it's plural. Isn't that incredible? Somebody says the Jews in the Old Testament didn't know anything about a Godhead. Yeah, they did, from Genesis chapter 1 on. Watch this. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22, the man has become as one of us, knowing good and evil. At the Tower of Babel, in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 7, Come, let us go down and confound their language. Have y'all gotten the point? Us, our. Ladies and gentlemen, there are three divine beings. I understand that some of you know some stuff about some textual criticism, and there are five verses in the New Testament that are questioned, and one of those is 1 John 5:7. But the reality is, 1 John 5:7 teaches truth just as well as any other passage in the New Testament, if you want to say it's a part of the canon or not. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Spirit, and the Word, and all three are one. Question: where's God the Father tonight? He's in heaven. Where's Jesus tonight? He's in heaven at the right hand of God. Where's the Holy Spirit? There are three that bear record in heaven. Watch this. You all know this. Jesus, to the apostles, said, I want you to go and teach the gospel to the whole world. And I want you to baptize people in the name of who? God the Father, right? In the name of the Father, a divine being. And in the name of the Son, a man or a divine being. In the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, in the Great Commission, said there are three divine beings: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, turn with me in your Bibles just a moment. This is, I think, in people I teach, one of the most difficult verses in the Bible. You all know it. And for us, it's like, well, what's the difficulty? Turn to John chapter 1 and verse 1. And I'll use an illustration up here that I want to show you as we study. John chapter 1, verse 1. I'll have these two things right up here in front of you, okay? In the beginning was the Word. Church, who's the Word? I didn't understand. Who's the Word? Jesus. Look at verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now we know who that is, don't we? Watch this. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. Who's that talking about? The Father. You know what that's saying? Before the world came into existence, Jesus was with the Father. Amen? Here's the most difficult phrase and where people just get lost. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. He was with the Father, no problem. And the Word was God. Question. Look up here with me. Does that mean that the Word is God the Father? No. You know why it cannot mean that? Justin and I rode in the car today. I was with him. When you say I was with him, is that one person? Yes or no? Well, no. Miss Ann, is it good English to say I was with myself? That's not good English. When it says that the Word was with God, ladies and gentlemen, it quickly emphasizes you're talking about two distinct beings. Okay? So when it says the Word was God, what it's talking about, not that He is the Father, but that He is divine just like the Father. Do you understand this evening? It's saying that Jesus Christ has every trait of a divine being. He is a living spirit. He is an eternal spirit.
He is an all-sovereign spirit who can do anything consistent with his nature and his will. He is a spirit who knows everything. He knows everything that happens everywhere. He doesn't have to be everywhere to know it. He's God. He is love and he's justice. He has every trait of God the Father. Jesus is a member of the Godhead. Amen? Now watch this. We all know that, but sometimes we haven't made some connections. Remember when Joseph realized that Mary was pregnant? That would shake you to the core. We're betrothed. That's like engaged, but it's a whole lot stronger than that. It's a legal binding document. And all of a sudden, Joseph says, "We're betrothed." Where'd that come from? And he was going to put her away privately, but what did the angel say? That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. This woman, Mary, has been chosen to be the virgin that brings the Messiah into the world that was prophesied in Isaiah 7:14. I want you to watch this. "And he shall be called Emmanuel," which means God with us. Two observations. Number one, this being who's going to be born to Mary is a divine being, God. Number two, and brethren, I hear some of my own preaching brethren say Jesus divested himself of his deity when he came to earth. That's an impossibility. You can't stop being a human being, and Jesus couldn't stop being a divine being. Who was he? God with us. He was God when he was here on earth in the flesh. A divine being living in a body. Now, somebody says tonight, "I can't relate to that. That makes no sense to me." I think you can. I want to show you why. What are you and I tonight? We are spirits living in a body. What is death, James chapter 1 and 26? Death is when I leave my body, right? The word death in the Bible means separation, okay? So I want you to watch this tonight. I want you to imagine that tonight I die. And you come to see Vicki and to pay your condolences to her, and you walk in, and up here's a casket, and I'm in that casket, my body's in the casket. What do people say when they walk up to the casket? "Oh, he just looks like he's asleep." Right. Just walk up and shake me. "How you doing, Stephen?" Question. What are the traits I have right now that if you walked into a funeral home and saw my body in a casket, I don't have? Personality, intellect, emotions, ability to communicate. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what a spirit is. You are a spirit made in the image of God living in a fleshly body. You are not a body. What's God? God is spirit. I can relate to God. I'm a spirit made in his image, not this body. Our spirit, we're made like him. And so you and I can begin to understand the concept then of Jesus. He's a spirit living in a body, right? Albeit a divine spirit. And what I said a few moments ago about Jesus, I want you to think about. Where was Jesus before the incarnation? He was in heaven with the Father and the Spirit. Amen? When that pregnancy occurred, where did he go in that body? How long was he in it? From the second of his birth, 33 and a half years. Where did he go when he died? This day you'll be with me in paradise. He went to Hades, to the realm called paradise, for 3 days. Where did he go when he left paradise? Came back to earth in that resurrection body. See my hands and my feet and my side? How long was he in that resurrection body on earth? 40 days, Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. Where did he go after the ascension? Back to heaven. Where is he tonight? At the right hand of God on the throne in heaven. Watch this. A divine being always residing in a location. Not ethereal nothingness. You know what? When I tell people that God's a spirit, you know what they tell me? I say, what does a spirit mean to you? And here's what Americans think God is and what Jesus is as a spirit. Air, gas, or Casper the Ghost. Now, brethren, we're out telling people God says something and they're in their mind thinking about air or gas or Casper the Ghost. They have no concept who God is and no concept who Jesus Christ is. Now, watch this. He'll be called what? Emmanuel, the angel told Joseph. And what does that mean? God with us. Watch it. I think tonight you can understand the concept of the Godhead. I think we make it difficult for people. We say about the Godhead, well, there's three in one. Have y'all ever heard that and kind of scratched your head and thought, what in the world does that mean? I'm a pretty simple guy who likes to make illustrations that make stuff understandable. So I want to show you all an illustration of how to teach people about the Godhead, and they get it. Here it is. I have before you tonight an illustration of helping us understand the Godhead by understanding, first of all, humanity. Here's the circle of humanity. You are in that circle. Why? Well, you're a human being, right? I'm in that circle. Why? I'm a human being. The president's in that circle. Why? He's a human being. Now, can I give you a crazy illustration? I watched this morning Jeff Bezos and those guys whooping that spaceship. I'd have loved to have been on that. Remember when they asked for a teacher, Ann? If they'd asked for a preacher, I'd have been on the Challenger. Wouldn't be have to worry about the world tonight, but I'd have been on it. I want you to imagine that you and I get on a spaceship and we go to Mars. I suspect that's going to happen sometime in our future. But I want you, for sake of just a humorous illustration, watch with me. I want you to imagine that we get on a spaceship and we go to Mars and we land, and when we land on Mars, as soon as we open the door, a little green Martian walks up and says, "What are you?" What are you going to say? "Well, I'm a human being." "Where are you from?" "Well, I'm from the planet Earth." "Where's your leader?" "Oh, he's back on Earth." "Describe your leader to me." How are you going to describe the president to a Martian? And don't you get political, because he doesn't understand anything about politics. How are you going to do it, folks? You know what you're going to say? "He's just like me." Are y'all with me? Watch this. Ladies and gentlemen, here is how to teach people the Godhead, as simple as it can be. Unfortunately, most of the time, we talk about God and talking about the Father. The reality is, in that circle, you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You remember in John 14 when Philip said, "Jesus, just show us the Father, and that's sufficient for me. I just want to get one glimpse of the Father." And what did Jesus say? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Is he saying, I am the Father? No. What's he saying? He's just like me. Does that make any sense? Ladies and gentlemen, you and I have got to stop and help people understand that this Jesus of the Bible is in that circle. Hear me this. There are not four beings in that circle. Mary's not in that circle. Only three. And watch this. When we talk about Jesus being God with us, his divine nature is affirmed by these kind of statements in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. He's going to be called Jehovah. I would challenge you to study the Bible and look at the word Jehovah. It does not refer just to God the Father. It refers to Yahweh, the divine beings. He is called the Mighty God, the I Am. Paul in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6 says Jesus was in the form of God. You know what that word form means? Morphe in Greek. It means he has every intrinsic trait of God the Father. You know what it's saying? He's just like the Father. And in Colossians chapter 2, he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What's it saying? He is a divine being living in a fleshly body. He is totally divine. Now, somebody says, well, I'm not sure about that. Watch this, folks. Jesus Christ was divine. His actions prove it. He forgave sins. Who can forgive sins? Only God. Now, he could have been a liar. We understand that. I could stand up here tonight and say, I can forgive sin. But Jesus forgave sin. That's one of the reasons that Jews got so ballistic about him, because who can forgive sins but God? Well, Jesus was a member of the Godhead. And watch this, brethren, he accepted worship. Now, are there a lot of people and a lot of beings who've accepted worship who are not divine? Yes. But you know what? Either Jesus was divine and had a right to accept worship, or he did not have the right and he accepted it and he sinned. There's no other options. You remember when John in the Revelation fell before that angel, what did that angel say? Get up. Worship God. That's who Jesus was. And his doctrine is truth. Remember what Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. John chapter 17, verse 16. Jesus said through the writing of the apostle John in 2 John 9 to 11, if we don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, we don't have God. You know what he's saying? The doctrine of God and the doctrine of Christ are identical. You know why? Because they're both divine. Now, point number one tonight, I want to see if you get it. I want you all to look over at that vase right there that holds those flowers. And I want you to imagine tonight that that's a piece of technology. And I want you to look right through it for a moment or two. And I want you to imagine that piece of technology there enabled you to look back in history and see it as it unfolded. And you can look back 2,000 years ago in the city of Jerusalem on an old hill called Golgotha or Calvary. What do you see on it? Three what? Three crosses. Who are on the outside two crosses? Two thieves who were criminals who deserved capital punishment. Who's on the center cross? You know what, brethren? We typically say Jesus was on the center cross. I didn't ask that. Who is it that's on the cross? Brethren, are you getting this? It's a member of the Godhead who's hanging on the cross because you and I are sinners. You know why so many people don't take Christianity seriously? Because they don't know who's on the cross. And brethren, if we're going to teach people, we got to slow down and let them get it. I watch people when they make the connection that Jesus is a divine being and that's who's on the cross. I watch their hearts. I watch their body language. I watch people touched to the core of their being. But we don't stop there tonight. We're going to go further. Yes, it is a divine being on the cross. But secondly, when we ask tonight about focusing upon Jesus, who is the Jesus of the Bible? Brethren, 95% of the people that I teach, when I say that Jesus was the creator, y'all ever had somebody do this to you? Here's the look I get. You lying. And I say to people, before you have a hernia, just breathe and slow down. Let's talk. Will you open up your Bible with me? And here's the immediate response. But Stephen, wait a minute. You know what the Bible says. The Bible says God created the heavens and the earth. You know Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Yes, but let me remind you, the word God there is what? Kind of noun. Plural, not singular. All right, now, I want you to open your Bibles with me and let's study some verses. Turn to John chapter 1 again. Back to my illustration. Study with me John 1, 2, and 3. John chapter 1, 1, 2, and 3. Okay, watch this. In the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus. In the beginning of the Word, and the Word was with God, the Father, and the Word was God, He's divine. Just like the Father. The same was in the beginning with the Father. Verse 2. You know what? That's simply a repetitive statement of the center phrase in verse 1. He was with the Father before the world began. Verse 3. What did this word do? All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. What did Jesus Christ do? Brethren, he created everything. Do you understand in Genesis chapter 1 when you read, and God said, let there be light. I'm going to show you the relationship in the Godhead in just a moment. But friends, the one who spoke was Jesus Christ. Let the waters be separated and let the dry land appear. Jesus Christ spoke. Make Adam out of dirt. Jesus Christ did it. Make Eve out of a rib. Jesus Christ did it. Go back with me now to Hebrews chapter 1. And notice something that's said about this. Oh, if you haven't turned, keep your finger in John 1. Come right back to it in a minute, okay? Hebrews chapter 1. Notice with me verses 1, 2, and 3. God, here the Father, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things, here it comes, through whom he made the worlds. The Father was the architect. What does an architect do? He plans. Who builds? The contractor, the builder. The Father was the architect, but the one who spoke everything into existence was Jesus Christ. Now, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. It doesn't get any plainer, folks, than this. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 12 through 20. I want you to hear what Paul says about this Jesus that we love and serve. Verses 12 and 13 are going to talk about God the Father. Giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Who's that? Jesus. Everything else I'm going to read you is about Jesus. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image, He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. He's greater than the creation. Why? For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. He existed before they all did, because He always existed. And in Him all things consist. He holds it all together tonight. Let me take you to another verse just in your mind. Remember when Peter talks about the world going to end and people were saying not going to be the end of the world? Peter said the same word that spoke at the creation is the same word that spoke when the flood occurred, is the same word that's spoken and the world stands today, and is the same word that's going to speak when the world ends. Who is that, ladies and gentlemen? Jesus Christ. The Father's going to tell Him when to speak. Now watch this. And He's the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. This is all talking about Jesus. Now go back to verse 16. What did Jesus do? By Him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, etc. Now, go back with me to John chapter 1 just a moment for two verses. Remember, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things were made by Him. Okay? Now, watch this. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. Do you understand what that's saying? He came to the very world that He had created, and the world didn't know Him. He came to His own. Now, I'm going to read the whole verse a second, come back and talk about it. He came to His own, and His own didn't receive Him. I'm not going to get a whole lot technical with you here about the words, but I'm going to tell you something about the words. He came to His own in the Greek is a plural neuter word. Neuter means not masculine, not feminine, but things. Listen, He came to His own things. What things? The very things He spoke into existence. And His own, masculine plural, His own people rejected Him. Somebody says to me, Stephen, you're saying that Jesus created everything. Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't say it. That's what the book says. That's who the Jesus of the Bible is. Now stop a minute. Go back to that piece of technology and look back on Calvary, and I ask you, who is on the cross? A member of the Godhead? The creator of this universe. Ladies and gentlemen, I watch people when they get it. I want to tell you about two seminars I did with my brethren. I did a seminar in Huntsville, Alabama, and I picked a lady out of the audience and asked her if she'd be my student. She said, I'd love to. And I taught her exactly what I've taken you through in this lesson so far. And when I took her back and asked her to look on the cross and see the creators on the cross, this beautiful woman, I'm talking about beautiful in heart, this beautiful woman started crying and couldn't even answer the question, because she understood that her Lord was a member of the Godhead, the creator of this universe, and that's who's on the cross. I love her heart. I was doing another seminar not too long in time from that one out in Siegelville, Texas. And I was teaching, I got a teacher out of the audience, and I'm sitting over here, she's over there, I'm sitting on this side of the table, I'm teaching her, and we're kind of in a rectangular room, and there's an older lady sitting over here on the front row, and as I'm talking about Jesus being divine, I watch this older lady. Sometimes you're doing something, you see something out of the corner of your eye. I saw this older lady's face just turn gray, and I thought, she's getting sick. But when I came back and talked about that the one that's on the cross is the creator of this universe, that lady started having tears run down her face and she began to weep. And I realized what was going on. Here is a woman who for the first time in her life understood who Jesus Christ really is. Brethren, I want to ask you tonight, do we know who Jesus really is? Have we known that in the past? Here's what I know. When people get it, they have much more respect, reverence, and desire to obey, and less argumentation. You're going to have to trust me on this. You're not with me in Bible studies. I never have an argument with anybody about baptism. But you know why? Because they're converted to Jesus first. Brethren, we need to stop teaching baptism and teach Jesus. And then when we get to baptism, they understand that's what Jesus commanded. And it's this divine creator that's telling me to do it, not some Jew that I want to argue with. When you and I understand who Jesus is, we're not going to argue about what are we going to do in worship. What did he tell me to do? And I'll do it. Brethren, some implications for those of us who are Christians. We need to know Christ ourselves. We need to emphasize Jesus before we emphasize his teachings. And the focus of his teachings need to be, here's what the Bible says, here's what Jesus says. And people need to understand, we're going to show them the truth, but we're not out to win an argument. I'm not trying to argue with anybody. I want people to be in love with the Jesus of the Bible. And brethren, we got to be patient with people. Because a lot of these folks don't know who Jesus is. And we've got to help them work through shallow understandings and have comprehension of the truth. And when they get it, they're going to grow faith in Christ. Now, just some last things. Here are some lessons that we're going to have to teach people from the passion, the suffering of this divine creator on the cross. Number one, you want to know how serious sin is? We look at sin and laugh about it, joke about it. It's kind of a flippant thing. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so deadly serious, it took a divine being to die because you and I sin. That's how serious it is. Number two, Jesus, this divine being, paid the debt. He paid a debt that he didn't owe. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. You know what? When I get it, I fall on my knees in humility. Lord, I'm so ashamed. Lord, I need everything you can do. Number three, I know who the Messiah is. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't just believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I know it. Not because who I am, but because the Godhead's told me. You and I can know with all of our hearts who Jesus is. You remember what that Roman soldier said? Surely, this is the Son of God. Oh, yes. I can't have salvation without the Son of God. I need Jesus. You need Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, we understand when we get who Christ is, He is the only Savior. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, John 14:6. When I understand who Jesus is, the amazing, incomprehensible love of Christ for me, why should He love me so? Why? And brethren, when I understand who Jesus is, and it's this divine Creator on the cross, the demands that His sacrifice makes on me, I hear us sometimes say, well, you know, you shouldn't be so busy in the works of the church. Brethren, really? I heard a story about a preacher who was talking about Jesus dying on the cross and His suffering in His scourging and suffering on the cross. And a little child sitting in the assembly began to cry, and a mother reached over and said, honey, don't take it so serious. What are you talking about? Don't take it serious. I better take it serious. Who is Jesus? This divine Creator, my Savior, my Lord, my God. And when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art. How great Thou art. And brethren, if we believe that, let's live like we believe it. Brethren, if we believe it, let's go tell our friends and neighbors who this Jesus is and bring them to faith in Him. And ladies and gentlemen, may God help us to never dishonor Him because of His greatness. When I surveyed the wondrous cross, what can I do but be in love with Jesus? Tonight, if you're not a Christian, we're not inviting you to come to some Jew. We're inviting you to come to the only being who's ever existed who can save you. Would you come to Jesus as we stand and sing?